It's Tuesday, February 21st, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight, we were going to begin our coverage of KatsuCon with video gaming, but I fucked up the podcast by accidentally overwriting the second 40 minutes of it due to an issue with Audacity.
Let's do this!
So, it's gaming day, and I'm still a little sick. Hopefully, I'll be good by tomorrow. KatsuCon really kind of wore me out.
Bargle.
Yeah, but today, we're going to talk about, well, a couple of video game news and such, and then I'm going to do the first half of my KatsuCon coverage, which will basically just include the video gaming aspects of KatsuCon.
No, it's an anime con, so how big could the video gaming be? I mean,
I've got a lot to say about the video gaming.
Because usually we go to, you know, the anime cons and they have video game rooms, but we mostly stay away from them.
Well, the thing about KatsuCon is that it's a 24-hour hotel con.
Oh, so it's 24 hours. There's nothing much to do at night except play video games.
There's a lot of mad 4 in the morning playing Guitar Heroes with drunk guys.
There was Guitar Heroes at the UberCon also.
Yep, but I'll get to all that in due time.
I think we should start.
First off,
we should start.
I would like to note
that
not a half hour ago, I beat Scott at both Through the Desert and Citadels.
Cheated.
Quite handily, in fact.
No, you only beat me by a little bit in the stupid camel game.
Yeah, well, you said you won until we recounted your points and discovered that you actually lost.
I counted wrong. I still, who knows, I might have accidentally put some points back in the...
Yeah, you know what? Bush counted wrong, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And as for Citadels, we've talked about the game before, but basically, I'm not so proud of the fact that I won. I'm proud of the fact that my trash talk was the epitome of good trash talk. And I dragged it out as long as you can possibly drag it out, to the point that I'm still dragging it out.
Yeah, you are.
Because, you see, there was a point in the game where the assassin goes before the thief, and the assassin can kill any character, and the thief can steal from any character. Now, I had a pile of money. I had all this money sitting in front of me. And Scott knew. Well, he took the thief. It was obvious that he took the thief. I knew he had the thief in his hand. He gave me all the cards to pick from, and the assassin was also still in there. So I took the assassin, knowing that Scott was the thief, and that I had a lot of money that could be stolen. So I played the assassin, I immediately assassinated the thief, and Scott about cried.
The worst thing was that when he started out as the king, and at first that was great. I loved it when he was the king, and I was doing good, and it was all great. But you then... I wanted to be the king, but I couldn't be the king because he never gave me the king. Kept discarding it randomly, but always the same one, so not so randomly. And then I finally got to be the king, and it was terrible. And the worst thing was that when he was the king, he always assassinated me. And then when I finally became the king, he always assassinated me.
See, Citadels is mostly a game of, you know, in A Princess Bride when they got the poison in one cup or the other cup, and, well, you would have put the poison in this cup, but that would mean blah, so therefore it's in this cup, but blah, so it's in this cup.
That's exactly what this game is.
It's a game like that, except I'm better at that game than Scott is.
Well, at least in the two-player game, that's what it is.
Well, there's also
a lot of
blah.
In the four-player or more game, it's definitely not, it's no longer a game of which cup is the poison in.
Yeah, it's a good party game.
Yeah.
But basically, I'm real good at bluffing, and Scott's real good at getting bluffed, so...
Yeah, I try to win the game by... good strategy of selection, so that where it doesn't matter if I bluff or not, is that my raw choices, I always get to do the right thing and I get ahead. You know, but sometimes I get, like today I lost because I didn't draw cards of the right colors to build.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. You lost because you suck.
You suck.
I mean, I won by so much. I could have given you cards to build for free and I still would have won.
No, if you would have given me cards, I would have done much better.
Yeah, anyway, we've got some actual news here.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, first of all, you might be fans of Phoenix Wright.
Objection! Phoenix Wright sucks.
Alright, I guess you have to give it back to me then.
Yeah. Actually, I'm almost done with it. That game's freaking awesome.
Yeah. If you're not a fan of Phoenix Wright, well, if you didn't see yesterday's thing of the day, you have to go buy a DS right now and play it. If you can find the game, it's sold out everywhere.
Yep, our friend Scott, who was at KatsuCon with me, really wants to play it, and he can't find it. He's willing to pay money. He just, no one has it.
It goes on eBay for $50. This is a $30 Nintendo DS game. I got
it's been out for a while.
I got it the day it came out because I was smart. Real smart. Anyway.
It's one hell of a game, I gotta tell you.
So anyway, it's really just Carmen Sandiego. We talked about it before. There's an episode about it. Go look
for
it.
It's also been at least one thing of the day, if not two.
I think three even. Anyway, so in Japan, there are three GBA games of Phoenix Wright, and they each contain four episodes of court drama. There is a fourth game that is the DS game. That is the one we have in America. The DS game consists of, I think it's the first or the third. I'm not sure which one.
Yeah, we're not sure. Don't worry about it.
It's either the first GBA game or the third GBA game. I'm not sure which. It doesn't matter because it's translated to English and it makes sense. Then they took that GBA game and they added a special extra fifth DS episode that uses advanced DS features, and it's like the best episode.
It's also called Rise from the Ashes. Yep. Now, your name is Phoenix Wright, so make whatever illusions you will.
Yeah, so that's the fifth episode that's special in the DS version that is in America and Japan. The news about Phoenix Wright is that Capcom has announced that in America, they're releasing all the rest of the Phoenix Wright that we didn't get in English for cellular phones. As in, not your, you know, they didn't say they're not going to put out a GBA and they're not going to put out a DS. They said they are going to put out cell phone versions.
Now, in the article I saw, it showed a picture of a little Phoenix Wright cartridge stuck into a special slot on a phone.
Oh, is that what you saw?
That's the picture I saw in the article I read.
Because for the N-gauge, that's whatever. No, but my cell phone, you know, I don't use any of the fancy stuff on the cell phone from Verizon because it all is a ripoff and it's price. Like, I can pay $5 to get Galaga and stuff. But if I look through there a couple times to see what, you know, goes on, and there's some fancy, freaking awesome games in there. Like, I can play Diner Dash, Splinter Cell, Baseball, all kinds of, like, official real games are in there.
It's my cell phone can play, like, Galaga,
Ms. Pac-Man. There's so many. I'll show it to you sometime. I'll show it to you after the podcast.
See, I'm not that interested because I got a DS.
Oh, yeah. But
I carry it around and play DS games on it.
Yeah, I do too. But the point is that the cell phone has a lot of cool games. I don't want to play any of them because they cost $5. But if there were Phoenix Wright episodes for $5 each, right? Normally, I would pay $30 for four episodes of Phoenix Wright. Even if they charge $5 an episode, which is the most I've ever seen anything go for on the cell phone, is $5 for one game, that would be $20 for four episodes of Phoenix Wright. Now, that is a deal. And Phoenix Wright can be played in a cell phone just fine. It doesn't need a whole Game Boy or a whole DS. So, if I see that on my cell phone, I'm going to get it. There's no, you know, it can't be sold out.
Now, the big question is going to be if it comes out on the DS as well, which it had better.
Yeah. And if it, you know, which cell phone is it going to come out for? My cell phone seems to get a lot of games, and I'm on Verizon with the Get It Now service. But who knows? It might come out for some other kind of phone.
Watch, it'll be an N-Gage exclusive.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
You know what? That would probably...
I would go pick up an N-Gage for cheap and
I'll bet it would
get all
at
the
least
rights.
Quadruple N-Gage sales.
I think it would, actually.
So they'd sell, you know, four of them.
See, that's real. That shows you that all a system needs to be successful is good games that people want. That's all, you know, has nothing to do with the hardware, the high, or any of that other bullshit.
You know what? I have a lot to say about that when I end up talking about Katsukan.
Yep.
Because the main thing, and video game-wise, that I want to talk about is that they encourage people to bring their DSs and PSPs. And one of those two appeared in great number. And the other one, I can only verify that there were at least two at the con, I think.
I think everyone's already guessed, but anyway.
Yeah, it might have been the same guy I ran into twice, because I was a little drunk the second time. I'm not kidding, it really might have been the same guy, I don't know.
All right, so the other bit of news besides Phoenix Wright on cellular phones is actually something, again, from World of Warcraft. Why does World of Warcraft make all this news?
Because it's the big game that a lot of people play.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's popular like... I'm not going to date myself, so I'm not even going to bother saying anything, but it's that game now.
Mm.
It's that game, you know, that game. Everyone's playing it.
We don't like it.
Yeah, in fact, I kind of hate it. But
yeah, I don't like what it stands for, like, or anything about it. I don't like MMORPGs, just current ones, the way the whole leveling up idea is just...
I like the idea of massively multiplayer, and I like the idea of massive multiplayer role-playing games. I don't think that any MMO out there is really a role-playing game.
It's just a leveling up game,
and they're not
seems
really
to be what
massively multiplayer. I mean, they're differentiated by server now, and we'll do a whole show on it. They take me off.
Yeah, anyway... Oh, we should do a show on why World of Warcraft and all the other
maybe MMOs, next Wednesday.
Maybe. Anyway, so there is a cool news from World of Warcraft, which is not quite as cool as Leroy Jenkins, but apparently...
Leroy!
Jenkins! Anyway, on World of Warcraft, each server has like these areas that have to open up. So imagine if there's like some door in a building somewhere, and no one in the game can go through the door until someone unlocks it. So if anyone unlocks the door, everyone else can go through now.
And to unlock it, you basically have to put a huge amount of time and resources together. Really, it's only something a guild could do,
a
powerful guild, and build this scepter.
Yeah, so basically there's a gong. And if you hit this gong with a magic scepter that is not easy to get, you have to spend a lot of time and money to build it, then this gate will open and allow everyone in the whole server to go into this area. So basically, until someone does this, the entire server is missing out on a large part of the game that other servers are experiencing. So what happened is, usually people on servers know what's going on because lots of communication and whatever. If no one's built the scepter yet, usually one guild starts to build it. And then no one else bothers to because, well, they're building it. Why should, you know, we bother? You know, there's no point in us both building it. We'll build something else to open some other gate or who knows. I don't know how it works. I'm just reading articles online.
So this one guild built the thing, and instead of using it, they're standing there with it saying, give us 5,000 gold or we're not banging it.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I really hope that the World of Warcraft people let this play out as it does in the game instead of fiating some sort of, screw you guys, we're going to let them open it anyway
thing. Well, actually, according to some things I've read, is that no matter what you do, because in some servers people didn't even know what to do for the stupid scepter, if you wait long enough, so when the server just, you know, has been in existence long enough, the gate will just open on its own, but it takes quite a while, and I don't think it's opened yet, so these people are basically holding the server hostage. You know, their choices are give these people 5,000 gold and get it open right now, or build the scepter themselves, which is a huge pain in the ass, and probably by the time they do that, it'll open anyway. Who knows? So that's just awesome.
So more power to the guys who were doing this. That's the kind of stuff I like to see in an MMO.
Yeah, too bad, like, you know, these things are so rare that they make news and they're not everyday occurrences. When they're everyday occurrences, that's the game I'm playing, where that kind of shit happens every 5 minutes. People screwing people over and blah, 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 you know. Yeah, that's what it's about.
And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for our opening theme.
Be sure to visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com. If you like our podcasts, you'll love our forums. Make sure you visit them. You can send your email feedback to geeknights@gmail.com. And if you want, you can leave us a voicemail at 206-333-1537.
Geek Nights airs every weeknight, Monday through Thursday.
Geek Nights is recorded with absolutely no studio and no audience. But unlike those other talk shows, it's actually recorded at night.